We're gonna cut that that little part out.
What part?
Where we talking about whether he coming
out. Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. But
okay. Let's do you wanna take us into our next segment? I guess we closing out the show by ourselves. I love that. Listen.
Hello. You know, this is what it looks like when fathers are in the home. When fathers are in the home.
Christina, please. Hello,
everybody, to another episode of Uncancel Culture.
Welcome back, y'all. Welcome back.
After a cute little hiatus.
Right. That wasn't that bad.
It wasn't.
Not at all.
It's going to be longer in the future. No, I'm
Or is it? Right.
Anyways, we have a wonderful, such a special guest for this week. Give it up for The Consciously. The Consciously.
Consciously.
Who has us thinking consciously.
How yeah, you doing? I can dig it. Shout out to y'all.
Uh-huh. How
Thank
you doing?
Thank you so much for coming.
I feel like I'm doing, you know what I'm saying? I think that I can relate to a lot of us right now that's a little stressed and depressed in this current climate, but I feel like I'm doing though, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It could be a lot worse.
I feel that. Doing despite.
Yeah.
You know?
So... y'all already know, if you're not part of the culture or new to the culture, our first segment, Consciously, is questions from the culture, where we have people from the culture, the audience, send us a question to answer and talk about for the first part. So we have one.
Wait. Before we even get into that, Consciously, can you explain to the people who you are?
Yeah.
Just a little bit of, like, background so people know who they talking to.
I figured everyone knew.
They should.
Maybe that's... Yeah. What does that say about you if you don't already? No, I'm kidding. Go.
Yeah. I am a consciously educator, you know, professional shit talker. Edutainer, you know. My motto is education is elevation. I have a background in, you know, higher education. I used to be a professor at the University of Oklahoma, where I was also the director of debate. I also have a little bit of experience teaching in high school. I was a 9th and 10th grade English teacher. And now I like to make intersectional, interdisciplinary content about power and domination. Really trying to use, you know, pop culture and just shit that's going on the timelines. You feel me? Trying to put me a nice little analysis mm-hmm. about power, identity, and things like that. But yeah, research over me, search, education is elevation. Get at me.
Thank you.
Wow. Thank you so
what
much.
An intro. Sorry for interrupting.
No, that was such an intro. A great intro. I'm about to make a joke.
Lord.
But it's a good, it's like you consciously, you really, I make a joke about Hotep aesthetic, but you reclaim it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, when they say what Hotep actually is, and then the people who actually, they're like, that's not what you're doing. This is how you really give like Pan-Africanist.
Yeah, but not Hotep though, because Hotep, like, well, no. I'll associate that with like misogyny and like homophobia. But you have like, you're just educated, like literally, and like really dope at that. Like,
that's my point.
I think the cadence though is
that's
one that like
point.
Could reach so many people because it touches the people who hear that and feel like connected
to
the cadence.
Research like, over research, like, yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And you got the research to back that. Like, that's what I was, you know what I'm saying? Someone,
we need you.
Someone on the street with a mic would say that, but you saying that for real because you got a research. And I really like that.
Like, you say it and you actually do the research. Like, that's refreshing because most people don't. They don't.
Yeah. You know, I feel like I might have, you know, been caught slipping, you know what I mean, one or two times. But in general, try to make sure whatever I say before I press post, I can defend it in a debate, you know. I like to lean on my debate background. Mm-hmm. So it's like, shit, now what it's not only what I said, but what can be justified with the words that I use. So shit, if I can justify and debate and defend those, post.
Love that.
You could be a ghostwriter for real. Like a good one. I'm just it's I'm sorry. It really, the education of elevation, it really is good. But anyways. It's a really compliment, I swear. Here's the question from the culture. I think this is a really good one, especially having you as our guest. Someone asked, My question is, how do we navigate building trust and vulnerability with new people slash community when everyone is so fearful? I hear a lot of people around me saying they are worried about trauma dumping or love bombing when it really just feels like a fear of vulnerability.
Oof. You want to kick us off?
Man, I feel like I'm looking forward to hearing what you say, Shane. But
I have a lot to say.
let's see. Ask the question one more time, and let me lean into this answer, because I feel like I want to be vulnerable in answering the question, because I think that is what needs to be illustrated in the response.
My question is, how do we navigate building trust and vulnerability with new people and community when everyone is so fearful?
Man, because I'm trying, I feel like right? I'm talking about Hotep now. So I'm about to say the most Hotepist answer, but no. I feel like it really, like, when it comes to George Lee consciously, the knowledge of self, self-awareness, self-love, self-care, you know, self-reflection, those are things that really helped me become confident and become, you feel me, who I am. And I think that because I was able to lean in and trust in self, you know what I'm saying, and making it where I can be so vulnerable with the world, because I trust myself enough to make it where these is my emotions, these is my feelings. You can't use them against me, but I'm willing to vent to you to have some empathy, sympathy, so we can relate. But also, you know what I'm saying, just having somebody to bounce things off of. Second part of that is that when it comes to thinking of the self, it's thinking about how would I want somebody to show up for me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. When I'm going through my most vulnerable states, how would I want people to show up and support? You know, and I try to make sure that I can create that climate or environment for other people. You know, treat others how you want to be treated. Some shit we talk with some kids. So, you know, just really try to lean into that. But honestly, vulnerability is being a superpower for me. It's something that I really, really took on early. And I think that recently I've forgotten it about it a little bit. But I think now I'm leaning back into it. And vulnerability, superpower.
I think you said Hotep answered, they're not self-aware, consciously. Oh, that's what I'm saying. That was good.
You're going to have us getting, Lord
Jesus. You know, like the knowledge of self, the knowledge of self shit is a framework I got from when I was in my, I think about it as, I was a Hotep that was a diet misogynist and a diet homophobe, if I'm being fully transparent and vulnerable, right? Like, I knew better in terms of ethics and morals, but I did have those particular hiccups or particular shortcomings where it was like, yeah, but shit, if you dress like this, then how you expect them to treat you?
Mm.
Yeah, all gay people, they cool, but y'all shouldn't adopt children. Those were my two things. Like, those are my two. Trans women is cool, but they shouldn't play sports head ass. Like, those are those are my two things that I used to say when I was younger.
Yeah. On that note, thank you for that vulnerability also.
Yeah.
And the naming the stuff that you had to change. Because I feel like that goes into my answer about, like, how do we navigate building trust and vulnerability? Everyone's so fearful. I've been recently thinking about how all of us, the human condition is about hypocrisy and cognitive dissonance. And building that trust and building community is being able to realize your own faults and the ways in which, like, you need community, number one, how you need to trust folks, how you might struggle to have community, struggle to trust folks, and also you have more to learn and more to realize. And I think naming the moments where it's like, damn, nah, like, I'm trying to do better and striving to do better, and here's where I came from, and here's where I still need to go, is really important in that, because I'm feeling like everyone right now is like on a moral high. You did this, you did that, they did this, they did that, and da 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 da. And I think it's part of the reason why I personally wanted to start Uncancel Culture, the podcast, because it was given like, oh, so everybody, y'all all came out the womb perfect. Everybody's indoctrinated by the system, but nobody indoctrinated in their mind.
Nope.
Only certain people are indoctrinated in their mind, but we're all part of the system. That don't make sense. Like, what parts of your mind are you believing and still indoctrinated in the system? And how are you working to deconstruct that? And how are you doing that with community? And community has accountability and calling folks out, but we're not actually practicing that. So I think people are fearful of vulnerability in that way, and also fearful of carcerality, because people aren't really acting real communal online, or sometimes online, because my community in person is community.
We solid.
You know what I'm saying? But yeah.
We solid in real life.
I think that was really, thank you for bringing that up, because I have my own things where
I think both of your answers are very beautiful. And yeah, I think naming the propensity all people have for contradictions is really important. Consciously, I really appreciate you bringing up the fact that you had to grow out of those mindsets and those behaviors and thoughts, because a lot of people do like to pretend like, you know, they shit ain't ever stank before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is important to acknowledge as often as we can that we have all had to unlearn a lot of poisonous and toxic things, which does happen when we exist within such a restrictive, like oppressive framework that our society is. But I actually want to touch on the love bombing and the
trauma dumping
of it all, right? As a therapist, I have to say one of my biggest pet peeves, oh my God, whew, is when people misuse and abuse therapeutic language that was designed to help protect people from harm in order to shield themselves from being vulnerable and connecting with other people. And when I say protect people from harm, right, I think of trauma bonding. Trauma bonding is not like literally just sharing your traumas with a friend.
Thank you for saying that.
It is literally abuse, and it is not something that just happens every time you talk about something traumatic that happened to you. Trauma bonding is someone intentionally trying to create a bond with you by manipulating you, not with their own trauma, but by leading you on, breadcrumbing you, having you like eager for the relationship, cutting off affection. They are literally trying to manipulate you and control you. It is an abuse tactic.
When very important distinction.
Exactly.
Because people don't be using it like the way they should.
And it's so important to acknowledge, right? Like when you sit down and you talk with your friends about trauma, you are not trauma bonding. You're literally connecting and bonding. But, you're just being vulnerable.
Oh, my God. But that just made me, maybe I should toss it to you, but that just made me think of some shit right now.
No, go ahead.
What I'm realizing is, like, it's so interesting that the framing of sharing one's experience and finding somebody that can understand that experience has been gotten a label that is used for abuse instead of seeing that as communal. Like, clock that's it. Wild.
Clock it. But why? And I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this because I love that, because I think it's really intentional. And this is why I say that community is the antithesis to white supremacy culture. And it is specifically because when you connect to other people and you are in community with other people, you're not isolated. It's harder for you to consume when you have people who are around you, right? It's easier for you to lean on the other people around you when you're not isolated. When you use therapeutic language like that, it is isolating. It is naturally isolating. But y'all are touching on another thing that I really love too, and it's that moral puritism, where you feel like if you're not pure, you need to be thrown away, and this grandstanding that happens on the internet. And I think I participated in it in many ways, and it took years, unfortunately, for me to recognize that, you know, there's no such thing as like waking up and being perfect, or people who don't have to grow from knowing toxic things and having empathy and understanding and patience when people do fuck up, which everybody inevitably will, is crucial and it's important. So, yeah.
I think that is the tough, crucial conversation that we have to have around community. And I think that because we're so easily making people irredeemable, or so quick to really, you know, discard somebody, make them exposable, disposable, like, oh, fuck you, did this thing. We don't get to talk about healing in a good way. I think that's really therapeutic, or really, you know what I'm saying, productive. And I think that it make it where we can't even have those tough conversations, like, what do we do when people fuck up outside of counseling them, or, you know what I'm saying, like, lead a community type shit. And it's just like, you know, what we talking about, abuse, whether we're talking about manipulation, whether we're talking about, you know what I'm saying, you know, being oppressive, maybe subconscious or consciously, you know, no pun intended. I think it's something that we have to talk about, though. Because I know, you know, think about it. Right now, all three of us, I feel like in many different ways are, you know, self-identifying leftists. I think that many of our fellow leftists engage in purity politics too much. I think that it make it where, right now, being a leftist, almost a bad word, you know what I'm saying? Especially within the Black community. And I think it's because how people engage in universalized concepts. i.e., if you engage in the American Empire on Tuesday, your bitch ass is engaged in the Empire every day of the week, and who cares? It doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? Oh, you want your mama to have free insulin, and you don't? Oh fuck! It's just like yeah. That right there to me, it ain't realistic. And like a lot of times, like you read this scholar, that scholar would not agree with you having this totality. You know what I mean? And going back to community though, it's like, hey, how do we figure out how to still be in community with people and acknowledge you're gonna still be in community with people when they have done wrong? It leads to a question like that. Really, that's how I think about it. Like, what do we do in it? Before it asks backup questions, it even convolutes the question. What do we do in this instance?
Yeah.
Well, because I really, in my own thoughts of that, I think in another episode, we brought up restorative justice where I was like, I had to feel my gripes with that. And I think a lot of this, when it comes to like leftism online, has to do with like this theory. Yeah, you're talking about it like theory. These scholars are writing books. And right. And the way that these things happen in real life and in practice, probably have to look a little bit different than just like what you're able to kind of flesh out in your mind, right? Yeah. And so when I think about like when someone does wrong, my first introduction to cancel culture, canceling folks was everybody who's like a really big abuser, everyone who's causing a lot of harm, and has their hands in a lot of different things. And they're just the big bad monsters, right? And that exists, whether it's an empire, whether it's a group of people, a person, whatever. But realistically, the types of harm that are happening are on micro scales. Uh-huh. And so what am I going to do to the micro harms that's happening that doesn't mirror the macro, the big, like, oh, you're going to an island and messing with kids, or you're doing this and you're a big music mogul that's been doing this shit for decades. Like, it's easy to discard and get rid of them. But yeah. Trying to mirror that in the micro scale when it's like in communal, and I'm not talking about like micro abusers or stuff. I'm talking about someone that might have a take that is like, oh, that's a little transphobic, or that's homophobic of you to say that, or you're doing this, like, what is it? That's not realistic, yeah. You know? And I when I started checking in and clocking myself to be like, damn, if I have privileges, that means I'm not seeing the way that my privileges are showing up.
Yeah.
Which means I have these blind spots, and maybe I should take a step back and should I be discarded if I do something, or I have a wrong take or a bad take, or I'm just wrong, period, point blank, you know? And that's really what made me like, damn, we might have to relook at some things, actually. Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I think, and you know what? It's like, this is such a beautiful conversation. I think it's also important to acknowledge, right, we as a people, as a whole, like, have such a big issue when it comes to, again, this, like, purist behavior, you have to be pure in order for you to be considered, like, valuable as a human being. When it comes back to the original question around how do we connect with each other despite all of this fear, I think it's important for us to have these conversations, one, but also to be vulnerable and to challenge it. Mm-hmm. I was just talking to a friend yesterday who was like actually like exiled from a huge community of people a few years ago. And I mean, it was very public. I ain't going to put too much of it out there, but it was a very public situation. And a lot of people turned their backs on this friend. And I was one of the few people who said, no, like, they are wrong in some ways, not every way, but they were wrong in some ways with what happened. But they still deserve to have community. They don't need to be thrown away. Years later, they're in such a different and better space, but people don't even grow in that isolation that people try to create once people do anything that they deem to be unacceptable. Yeah. I think we have to challenge this as a community of people, whatever community looks like to you, and understand that it is not the role. We all gonna play different roles in this. And you need to really assess within yourself if you want yours to be vigilante. I think a lot of people need to really ask themselves that question, because a lot of people take on this role of judge, jury, and executioner through this online vigilanteism. And we've all participated, I believe, in some way, mm-hmm. shape, or form.
Yeah, yeah,
or at least sure, I have.
Yeah.
I know I have for sure. Yeah. I know I definitely can be real and be like, yeah, there's definitely been times I have engaged in a lot of activity that I feel like is not good for community. You know what I'm saying? I think that through me reflecting, especially the bigger my platform gets, I think about different ways that when I say or not say something, how it impacts, you know what I'm saying, community. So the reason why I don't really do a lot of debunking videos the way I used to, or do a lot of, you know, debating people like I used to, because then it started to make it where even though I'm being like, I don't give a fuck about you, I'm finna intellectually smash you and then move around. My audience would report videos, you feel me? Mm. Huh. Do things that made it where the person I disagree with, now they feel like I didn't tell my audience to go report them.
Yeah.
And they lost their page. And because they lost their page, oh, consciously did it. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And it's just like, you know what? I think you're full of shit. I think what you said was transphobic, anti-black, white supremacist. Ooh, was it ableism too? Damn, you out of there. But I'm gonna be mindful of how I come at you, because I know it can be weaponized against you and against me in ways that I feel like I don't want to have. And I think that when it comes to being in community, I feel like vulnerability is, to me, like a big central point. I know I've always had a different relationship to vulnerability. I came to this conclusion after I got diagnosed with being bipolar in November. So when I started thinking about it, it was like, shit, the reason why I had a crazy relationship with vulnerability is because that emotional dysregulation made it where if I wanted to cry, I cried. You feel me? If I felt played, you knew I felt played. I actually say I wear my heart on my sleeve because I didn't know how to do anything else. You know what I'm saying? At a certain point, like maybe the end of middle school, the beginning of middle school, I felt like I only felt like a victim emotionally when I allowed for people to use my vulnerability against me. And it was mainly the impact with shame and embarrassment. Once I started feeling like you can't shame me, embarrass me, shit, it's all on the table. You feel me? It made it where I had a different, that's why I said like vulnerability being a superpower, because it was like now you can't use my extreme emotions against me because I already like, yeah. Now what? I cried. Yeah. Now what?
Yeah.
You gonna, yeah. You acting emotional. Yeah. Now what? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm emotional. Now what? Like you did something to me that made me be emotional, but yeah, I'm emotional. You friendly. I'm friendly, but you know what I'm saying? In different ways. You
perfect
know,
yeah. Segue.
Yeah. I could say 5,000,003 things about shame and how shame. I'm sorry, I'm not gonna get in my therapist bag. read the book.
Crazy things, man.
If you're listening, please go read the book Healing the Shame That Binds You. If you relate to like people trying to weaponize your shame. But okay.
Hold on, say it again. What's the book name?
Healing the Shame That Binds You. But we're going to segue into our second segment.
Because that was perfect.
That was a perfect segue.
Do you know what a second segment is, maybe?
I'm going to break it down, for the people who might be first-time listeners because they love Consciously so much. This is their first time tuning in, okay? And I understand. Welcome to the family.
Right.
The second segment is called The Hot Seat, and this is where our guest will have the opportunity to describe any situations, instances where they may have been canceled, experienced cancellation culture or carceral culture on the internet. It could be about any hot topics that you find to be really important that may be a little controversial. It could be anything that you want to talk about. But we like to mainly leave the spot open for you to tell your story, talk about who you are, your experience with carcerality, if you don't mind. But yeah, please take it away.
Man.
He said, what a start.
What a start. God, listen, before I give any specific examples, what I always find interesting is that my racially ambiguous, biracial wife that has a black mama and a black grandma that raised her always comes into play regardless of what the take is. If somebody disagrees with me, whether I say trans women or women, whether I say women should be protected, whether you think they ugly, whether the police said they was hit by a brick or a fucking a bottle, I think that no matter what it was, you feel me? You didn't speak on this execution quick enough. No matter what it is, I find some type of way my wife comes into it, and I just think about what I learned about, you know, like international feminism and about like in the history of war, women's bodies is always seen as collateral objects for how we wage war. So instead of a motherfucker that's coming for me, coming at me, I'm going to use your, like, almost as like, you know, what is the first thing they tell us what they'll do when they invade? Rape the women, kill the children, you know what I'm saying? Or, you feel me, abuse the women. And for me, it's just like, hey, the way if you guys smoke for consciously or you want to discredit consciously, it always has something to do with his wife. To me, it's like, to me, like, it used to bother me. It still bothers me now, but it don't bother me as much as it used to. You know what I mean? Because I get it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get the trend legacy of successful black men get with racially ambiguous, light-skinned, non-black women. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get it. You know what I'm saying? I ain't gonna cap. I ain't gonna act a victim. I ain't gonna play like I don't. I get that. See what I'm saying? And to me, it's just like having that vulnerability and willing to have that conversation about, you know what I'm saying, whatever we're talking about in terms of colorism. But also, it's just like, hey, come for me when I've made disparaging comments about dark-skinned black women. Come for me when I'm trying to justify who I love and make kids with by saying X, Y, and Z. And to me, it's just like, the council culture in big, or the counseling in terms of this, like, hubris right here is like, why do we have a transactional relationship with who we fucking in the community and how that means we love the community? To me, it becomes like transactional almost. It's like, hey, is you laying down with somebody in the community? Do you really love the community? And my response sometimes be like, hold on. So the motherfuckers that is laying down with somebody in the community, how, like, can we have this energy with asking them what they do for the community? You know what I'm saying? Or thinking like this, like, hey, Umar Johnson had made a career out of talking about being with octorooms and my rooms and quadrooms and breaking up black families and the gays and the strays and the queens. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, hey, you got two kids out here you ain't taking care of. That's cool.
Sorry.
I wasn't expecting that one, but yes.
To me, it's just like the gotcha of it all, though. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I pick up my kids. I don't know.
Clock it.
My kids see me every day. And guess what? God forbids. But if something was happening between me and my wife, I'm not going to wave around my white man paperwork of child support and say that this right here is a substitute for how I showed up emotionally and loved my children, how I went to football games and basketball games, and how I showed up to PTO. They don't do that. You see what I'm saying? But to me, it's like, hey, why do you have so much energy towards me being with my wife and the work that I do, and you could have just made it about X?
Right.
You could have made it about X, but you didn't want to do that.
You said, stop talking about my woman. You said that in the most.
And the reason I'm talking about on this platform specifically is like, you trying to do the okie doke on me like I'm a dumbass. Hey, you think that if you just throw some shit at the wall and it has to be about my wife, I'm going to come after you on the internet. I'm a country boy that grew up a particular way. All that barking, it ain't going to do nothing for me or you. And I know that only it's about trying to reverse psychology me of getting my audience to come to your page to hear what you're talking about just for you to play victim when I, you know what I'm saying, when I intellectually like the flow with you.
Can I speak on that real quick? Y'all mind if I say just one thing real quick? Because I'm going to call it what it is. They trying to trick you out your spot. And look, I have fell for the okey-doke before myself, right? These people, again, speaking back on that vigilante justice that people take on the internet, they think they're the judge, jury, and executioner. They think they get to tell you who is morally correct online, offline, in real life. And a lot of people, keeping it a bean, are powerless in their everyday waking lives, and they use the internet as a proxy for them to gain power or to feel powerful. And oftentimes they do things like leech onto people or latch onto things that they consider problematic for other people, right? There has to be a line. Yeah. There has to be a line. If you feel like you are the judge, jury, and executioner for other people's lives, I would take a step back and really reassess, like, what it is that you actually want. What is your goal? Because a lot of people will say things like the goal is community, right? Consciously, I know for a fact that you're out here, you're working every day tirelessly. I've seen you mentor kids. I've seen from the very beginning, you hopped out and you jumped in a field. I've seen it. A lot of people whose aim so-called aim is community. I will say, I was at the community event the other day. I was on a panel the other day. I don't be seeing y'all at these events. That's really funny to me. Where do y'all be at? Because y'all be on the internet.
Waiting for you to make a post about the event.
Right. Where do y'all be at? Get in the field.
That's what I had to check myself on, though, because I didn't accept it that I had a lot of resentment towards niggas uniquely in college that, hey, you came to your blackness through theory and through academia, and now you trying to police me and how I perform my niggardom, and we ain't going for it. Mm. And I think that on the internet, to me, it'd be a lot of, hey, you what I call, you a white person of color. Mm. And you just trying to use your position and access to, like, intelligentsia, academia, to try to, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I ain't got time for it. And it's just like, hey, do you love the people more than you hate the system?
Hello.
A lot of y'all hate the system more than y'all love the people, and that's why so many individuals got a beef with leftism or got a beef with that. That's what it come down to. And to me, it's like, hey, this on some debate shit.
You know?
We all agree. White supremacy is bad.
Yeah.
So that means if I have a link for you specifically that ties you to white supremacy, that means that we shouldn't be doing that, right? Once you start engaging into vigilante type policing, that is a mechanism of white supremacy. We don't have the vigilante people engaging in. We don't have that with our white supremacy. So once you start alienating individuals for not conforming to your values, that sounds a lot like massing them. Once you, it's just like, I think that it's like, hey, you can't become so lost in the sauce of saying you're against something that you are blind to how you afford it. And that's the reason why I love being mindful and being vulnerable with myself, of being like, hey, bro, how are you an oppressed oppressor?
Hello.
How are you an oppressed oppressor? If you can't sit with how you an oppressed oppressor, and more specifically, if you can't sit with how you get in the way of the shit you advocate for, I don't think you're being a good advocate. So, like, I advocate for women's, you know what I'm saying, progression. I try to always be mindful and always gain consciousness and understanding about how I'm misogynistic, how I'm patriarchal, how I forward that type of thinking, those type of actions, and knowing, hey, I can read feminism to my face turn blue. I can read every bell hooks book I got in my library, and they have in the library, period. But I know it don't make me be like, hey, Christine, like, conscious that was sexist. Shut up, woman. I read bell hooks. Like that. You know what I'm saying? I'm just knowing, like, you know, man, being an oppressed oppressor is a lot of times when people want to push back at me. That's what it's like. You are dishonoring black manhood. You are dishonoring heteronormativity. You are dishonoring, you feel me, being black because you decided to talk about X, Y, and Z. And now, nigga, guess what? Your wife ain't even black. And it's like, God damn,
how did we get there?
You try to use you being right here to get right here. You wrong.
Can I also say, white rights exist in our community, y'all. Stop attacking the sugar cookie community.
Hey, one drop rule don't matter. I'll be like, that has a whole black pants. Like, sorry. One drop rule.
I'm gonna keep they call me with all everything under the sun. So I'm like snickerdoodle. I wouldn't say sugar cookie.
No, you're not you're not a part of the sugar cookie.
Okay, collective. I was like, right. Okay, I feel I got a little, what is it? Speculoos. I'm like a speculoos cookie.
They do like to lighten you a few shades when they're trying to get at you, though.
Why do they do that? I thought.
Because they feel valid in attacking your blackness if they can deem you as
black. We can be honest. Shade. I know my positionality. I'm not dumb. I see it. I know my positionality. But don't tell me I'm a 200. I'm a good 390 Fenty. Good, you know, like I. But
hey, word on the streets is both of y'all are tethers.
But I think before the being an oppressor. Damn, what the fuck you say?
Christine,
shout out to my fellow straight black men in the community, man. You know,
oppressor. There we go. Because I feel that some people will be like, whoa. If you're interested in reading something, Pedagogy of the Oppressed by Paulo Freire, he talks about the pedagogy of the oppressed and what happens when being in a system of oppression, sometimes what it can take, number one, is to be violent back to the oppressor. And then there's like this type of barbarism that happens when you're oppressed where it's like you got to be careful not to, you know, mirror those same things. So if you feel like that's not right, go read something, learn you something. But the light bright. I think it's
that interesting. That was a joke, by the way. No. Because I know y'all going to say I'm colorist for saying that. Jesus, it was a joke.
I think it
I throw ass up on Twitter. You know that. I feel like that's what they, I feel like. I'm always in my mind sometimes. I'm literally, my side may cut you off. But I feel like they come for this man on Twitter where it'd be like, you know what? It's a bored random day for me. Hop on Twitter. The blah 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 therapist that always I'm like, damn,
and you know what? And guess damn. What? When I log out and I log into my real life, I could talk to at least 20 people right now who will say that I helped to change their lives. Can you say the same?
Well, can you say the same thing, Miss Body Bag? Miss Body
Bag. Oh,
I can. I can say the same. I've changed.
Yeah. For the audience, that was me. That's me joking. That was an inside joke. You know what I'm
saying? No, that was that was the first episode. Yeah, we talked about this. We sure did.
We addressed.
But that's another thing, you know. Back to on some real shit. You said I'm a country boy. I'll just bark in. I think also just because you know people might have certain levels of like intellectualism, da da da. They forget how down, dirty, one could get. So that would it. You have to catch yourself. I'm being really vulnerable. You gotta catch yourself. You know what I'm saying? It's like I go low. Like what the fuck you talking about? You know what I'm saying? I'm not lady. You're right. I'm not ladylike. I'm going low. I have 3 brothers. I got all these. It was a household. Hey, you got to defend yourself. I'm saying something crazy back. And then I said, oh, I guess we can't do that.
Listen, they be trying to get me fired every time they try to get me out of my element. And then I be telling them, y'all, I'm from the hood. Please relax off me. And then when I act like I'm from the hood and tell you, if you promise not to press charges, I'm going to pull up and fuck you up. Then I'm the problem and you got to call my job.
Hey, that's the reason why I was ready to leave my university, though. Once it started being like, you know, outside of the pay, it started being like, hold on now. You trying to tell on me?
Right.
Like, hold on. I'm a grown ass man that did something off the clock. And the fact that a person even feel like I can tell on me made me feel some type of way. Like you about to tell him? You about to tell who? The who?
Bring back snitches, get stitches. I think we should.
Christina, no.
No?
No. She didn't mean that, y'all. She didn't mean it.
Well,
she didn't mean it on camera.
Think there is a certain level, and maybe this is, I could be called in for this. I can't. I think there's you got to check yourself, da da da. I think there is a certain level. I saw a bunch of people make this take. People haven't got popped in the mouth by their community members enough. And where it's like, the talking crazy can happen both ways. Yes, there's a talking crazy on the oppressor side. Yes, there's a talking crazy with white supremacy. But sometimes you be in the uppity, you're acting like you're better than everybody. You're not acting communal. People aren't going to fucking rock with you. And it's like,
But they leverage that in different ways.
Of course.
I think it can come back to also people trying to trick you out your spot again.
Yeah.
Because they say the same shit about me.
Hey, I think one of the reasons why, in my mind, it's only been 2 times throughout my social media career that people didn't really, you know what I'm saying, hey, light the torch. We finna get this motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? And the thing that I feel like, you know, I'm not advocating for violence at all,
mm-hmm.
but something that I've seen as being an example of restorative justice growing up in the South is the idea of being able to shoot the fair one. I see how people don't understand it now, but it's like, hey, growing up, we have a disagreement and we can't come to an agreement with words. We finna just fight, and then after we fight, we gonna play basketball. We gonna, like, it's over with. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, when you think about it in terms of restorative justice, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I think that there's no harbored, you feel me, feelings, and it's just like, hey, we gonna do this, and it's over with. Listen, that is a way, and I think that because I experienced that, I don't play with people on the internet. Like, it's certain things I don't say on the internet because, mm-hmm. hey, I'm from the country. They just pull up to you and come like, ain't no, the idea of being doxxed. I'm from Bryan, Texas, man. It's one high school here. Hey, you ride the bus with them?
Can I say?
Nobody gonna be shooting, but we finna fight. We're knock on the door. You don't want to come out. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, I think to not get too, you know, crazy with it right now. Just, hey, I think there are certain ways that niggas practice restorative justice or used to practice it, because now that switch come out.
Can I say, right, I think this is a really good conversation because, as I'm sure y'all know, I have gone through, like, a number of recent attempts at the same, like, lighting a torch on me on social media. I am from a place, too, right, where my first knee-jerk reaction, and people try to push at that button a lot, right? Where I'm from, if somebody is threatening you, if somebody is, like, saying that they want smoke, my knee-jerk reaction is, what's up? Like, I will fly to you, or I will fly and meet you in the middle. What's up? I will fly you to the middle myself, and we can get the thumping. But I had to realize and recognize, right, a lot of the same people who will swear up and down that they really want that type of smoke are, again, those people who are attempting to use similar tactics, white supremacist tactics, to trick you out your spot. And even if they aren't the person, they have a gang of people typically behind them who are willing to do the same thing, which is why, like, my job has been constantly in question over the course of the past few weeks, because these people feel entitled to taking away not only my client's trauma therapist, but my livelihood, because they believe that they are the judge, jury, and executioner. All I want to say, right, any job that can be taken from me, it's not a job that I care for or need. Anything that can be taken from me by anybody who looks at me and does not know me but can think that they know who the fuck I am, you can have it. Anything that can be taken from me in that regard, you got it. Like, because I don't want that. But I think what's really important to know is, like, you have to align yourself with people who will call you in, support you during moments like that when the torch is lit. And that's what people really don't like, right? And that's ultimately what they're trying to do. They're trying to isolate you, which is why when people still fuck with you in the midst of the torch being lit, which is why when people still fuck with you even though people can talk about your wife, which is why when people still fuck with you even though you can say things like bullet bag, people are fuming. They are mad because ultimately they do not want us to exist within community. They do not want us to have the ability to grow. Frankly, they don't want us to exist. If you wanna keep it a goddamn bean.
And I think there's, like, to what back to what you had mentioned earlier consciously about, like, okay, I know the ways in which my platform can be weaponized against you and me, so I have to do a lot of reflection and change the way I create content, because seeing that shit is like, oh, well, you know, Christina put her thing on that, or consciously got this person doctored, you know, Shaheem did this. And it's like, that's not what I did. But now I'm understanding, I got this. Like, for me, I'm like, unless I said it, I'm not doing it. Hello. I didn't do it. But there is this, like, okay, I have to move different because my positionality, it shifts your positionality. If we're talking about positions, you know what I mean? And, like, but it's hard. And I think the vulnerability of that comes from being like, it ain't as fucking easy. It's, you think it, well, you should know better. Yeah. No, motherfuckers have experienced, we have lives outside of this and experiences outside of this before this. And everyone I know didn't really ask for this.
Yeah.
So it's like, when you coming for my mom or coming for my wife, you coming for my family, you coming for me, it's like, I'm activated. So having people that could be like, it's hard to, number one, get brought down. And it can be really difficult to try to, like, you can only say so much to your homies, to your friends, like, but it's like, they're going to do what they do. But I please, like, this isn't, like, worth, this isn't who you are. No.
Le Frederick, stop.
Stop it. This isn't, don't do it, no.
Can I say thank you for holding me down these last couple of weeks?
Oh, my gosh.
Like, I really do appreciate you.
Because.
Sisters. No, like,
both of us together, because it was.
I have such a loving, supportive network of people, and I just want to say, like, no matter how much you try to remove me from that, I am loved in real life. And I'm so thankful and appreciative. We got to, like, keep that the main focus, right? Again, because my goal, I don't know what y'all's goals are. I can say what my goal is, and it is to connect as many people as possible to the community of people around them. And it ain't got to be me. I don't give a damn.
Right.
I want people, and back to what you were talking about earlier, consciously, I want people to be able to know themselves, to be more like stronger within themselves, to be able to speak vulnerably about themselves without being shamed, without feeling like they have to hide themselves or people can weaponize who they are against them. I want people to start there, and then I want people to build out. And that is my goal. I want to help people.
Mm-hmm.
I could give a damn about whether or not I'm liked by everybody, so long as I can go to my grave and say that it's at least one or two people who I know for a fact are better because I was in their life. That's all I need. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, definitely. I think it's something I got to remind myself all the time. I think my platform got so big so fast in many instances, there were things that's very core to myself that I forgot. Mm. And literally because I feel like I was so favored for so long, nigga had forgot, hey, bro, everybody ain't gonna like you. Mm. You know what I'm saying? You are an acquired taste.
Yeah.
Some people is not gonna like the flavor, bro.
Especially when you black, queer, or a woman.
definitely. And it's just like, hey, because you're not willing to placate into the self-centered entitled motherfuckers that believe everything that come across their timeline should be consumable for them. If you're not willing to always already be willing to bend, break, and fold for that, then of course you're gonna piss people off. And if you can't be cool with that, then you can't do this work. And it's just like, that's something I have to remind myself. Like, hey, bro, everybody gonna like your ass. And in any instance you start putting popularity before purpose, you done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that for all of us in this space, you know what I'm saying? I think it's easy for us to get caught up in popularity and forget the purpose because, shit, once you start making it where you're living, it's based off of the views, the likes, the comments, sponsorships, partnerships, bookings. Now you having to damn orient toward, like, you know what I'm saying, like a job. And getting caught up in the popularity can make us lose sight of the purpose. And I think I've had to be reminded. I feel like my bipolar diagnosis shook me in a way that made me go back to thinking like, man, nigga, who the fuck is you and what are you doing? Why are you doing this? You know what I'm saying? Do you really want to do this? You know what I mean? And then really just, and be honest with you, I'm still in that journey right now, processing my diagnosis, processing what I'm doing, how I'm doing. And it's just like, shit, you know? Shout out to everybody on the journey with me. And I know I'm not the only one out here that's stressed and depressed. I think that sometimes make me be like, all right, bro, you ain't alone.
You don't have to answer this question. You don't have to answer anything. But I was curious about what, I don't know how old you are, but like what your process to getting a diagnosis was, is, and being open and honest about like the in real time journey. Because like November's not that long ago.
Yeah.
You know, if you wanted to speak to it, because I saw you make a video about it and I was like, oh shit, okay. But I know that that's also really vulnerable, especially in real time.
Yeah, I mean, I got diagnosed with ADHD. I'm 34 years old. I turned 34 in December 9th. Shout out to my fellow Sagittarius. I got diagnosed with ADHD like when I was 31, so 3 years ago. Through me trying to take the ADHD medication, the stimulant, it put me on edge, had me hella irritable. And I was a little productive, but shit, I was ready to go off, you know what I'm saying? Or just felt like I was on edge. Through me just being in therapy and my therapist being like, you know, it's something that's going on here. And also the first time I had an evaluation, they thought I had personality disorders. You know what I'm saying? And my therapist and my, I guess my mid-level psychiatrist is like, nah, we don't think that at all. But it's 3 years now, you get an evaluation right now. And I got my evaluation results on that Friday after the election. So that's how it led to me getting the evaluation and them being like, well, we think there's more going on with you than ADHD. We also, you know what I'm saying, we never thought that these, it was like a turbulence personality and some other shit that I ain't even be like, that was like being paying attention to these. We don't think you have personality disorders. We talk to people all the time. This ain't what you got, right? So going back, you know, shit, just going back. And learned about hypomania. I'm bipolar type 2. Learned about hypomania. Learned about just, you know what I'm saying, being manic and the rapid thoughts. And it's really a big-ass Venn diagram when you think about ADHD and bipolar. So sometimes it looks like one or the other and one or the other. So, like, because I'm somebody that's seen themselves as being emotionally intelligent, and I had internalized so much ableism around bipolar that I didn't realize, I felt like, you know, And I feel like I feel embarrassed saying it out loud, but in many instances, I had to feel like subconsciously, at least, that being emotionally intelligent and being bipolar is kind of oxymoronic, because it's like, nigga, yeah, you can't even control your emotions. What the fuck you mean emotionally intelligent? You know what I'm saying? So because I had so many things that I'd internalized that was ableist around specifically bipolar, because my mother's bipolar as well. Shit, Kanye West giving us a new antic every week with bipolar. And just the way we talk about it in society, the way we talking about it in the hood, the way we talk about it in the community, it's like it's nothing good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I had to really come to grips with like, hey, you still accomplish, nigga, you got 2 master degrees, you a national championship winning debate coach, you a Hall of Fame debater, you feel me? You was able to build this platform that people know around across the world. You've done this, all undiagnosed bipolar ADHD. You should remind. I have to remind myself of that, because I ain't gonna lie to y'all. I'm getting through my depression now, but it's like, hey, I was in the dumps. Yeah. Like they're really like.
Yeah.
I think that's another. Thank you for sharing all that.
Yeah.
Because one thing I feel like people don't humanize us at all. Like I often feel so dehumanized, even in the best case scenario with even the people that I love your work. I love it. Da da da. Grabbing at me, and it's like I don't even feel like human sometimes, and like there's shit happening behind the scenes that people aren't aware of, because we might not be sharing it, or by the time we're sharing it, this shit's been going on for who knows how long. I've been having physical health stuff going on for like months at this point that I've just been like, and then on top of that, you want me to respond, or you want people to respond to some bullshit you're talking about on the internet. It's like, these are people that are like consciously or subconsciously, every time I say consciously, I'm thinking, okay, sorry, fuck, but like things that we're going through behind the scenes that our actual community and our family and our friends and our loved ones know, and we still have this like public persona, or we've become this brand where it's like, damn, I can't even like, I'm just like not, I'm this entity, you know, that people don't see. And then if I can choose to be vulnerable about it, and I can't control how people are going to respond to that, because you still got to do all the work to undo the negative self-talk, and people still might say that. If you do, we don't do that. But like that takes a level of vulnerability when you got all these eyes on you. So that's why I asked you the question. So I really appreciate you like answering it.
And can I say 2 things? One, while I really respect and appreciate that you are so educated and dedicated, and that you built and amassed such a large following, you are more than enough without all of that. Like, you alone without those accomplishments is enough, and we are so thankful to have you.
I appreciate it.
As a person outside of the accomplishments.
You don't know how much I need to hear this. You don't know how much I need to hear this, man.
Yeah, you are.
I can cry right now.
Don't start, because I almost got teary-eyed too.
No, seriously. Like, and I think that's that right there, that's part of that stigma where we feel like we have to prove ourselves. You are enough. You don't need to prove yourself. Second thing, like speaking towards the vulnerability, I almost took my own life like a little over a year ago at this point, like a year and a couple months. And it was a really rough time period for me. I ain't gonna hold you. And right after that, niggas started jumping me on the internet. So of course, I can't be vulnerable about like all of the stuff I have going on in my life behind the scenes, but I come from a very difficult circumstance. Like, I am from a place where I had to get it out the mud. I'm literally from down a hill. Yes, I'm gonna mention it every episode.
Get a tattoo right here down the hill.
But
down,
no,
down here, what is that reference to?
Baltimore.
Is that reference to like Iowa?
No, I'm from Baltimore. It's over east, down the hill. Yeah.
Over East Baltimore. Okay.
The trenches. And like, I'm a first generation college student. Like, but at around this time period, I found myself taking care of so many people. And I'm not just talking about my job, but like having to financially care for people, having to like sacrifice so much of myself. Like, and it was so much pressure and showing up. And I just like did not feel like I had many people I could turn to. It was just so much happening in my life at the time. And ironically, a year later, when I'm like, oh, I'm finally on the other side of this, niggas started jumping me again on the internet. And it was just like so hilarious, because it's like, but by that time, I had to recognize like, wow, one, I have such a lovely and strong community of people. And I pray to never feel separate from that community again, like I felt at that time. And ironically, right after it, like so many people just like surrounded me with so much love and privacy, which I really genuinely appreciate. Like I have such a, again, I have such a strong loving community of people around me, and I encourage people, build your community in real life, not just on the internet. Build yourself up, build yourself with the people closest to you in proximity in real life. While an online community is a very beautiful thing, I'm really appreciative for my online community too. Having those people in real life is how you get through these very vulnerable and painful moments, frankly. Yeah. And all of us have them, which is why going all the way back to the original point, it's so important for us to lay down our arms when it comes to constantly warring with each other online. And shouts out to Black Belt Babe, because Black Belt Babe, if you don't follow her, if you never heard of her. She has been talking about how to divest from that, like that incessant need to be a part of this outrage call out culture. And it is so imperative that we all start to step away from this. I cannot emphasize enough that it is dehumanizing all of us, not only the people who are often subject to being dehumanized and on the receiving end of the lashings, but you, the person who's doing it.
Son's got the bus.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. My son's got the bus. So yeah, we having a good conversation. We got to do this again.
Oh.
Yeah, my son got the bus, though. Got the kids.
You see a father?
Well.
Hey. Present dads forever, deadbeat dad never.
I love that. Forever, what a perfect dad never. What a perfect way to end. Well, you know what?
My kids got.
And you can never, you can say anything you want. You could never call him a bad father.
You could never call him a bad dad. That is so
he said,
hilarious.
Let me go get my kids. He ain't even turn off the screen, y'all. He ain't even turn off the screen.
I think that's hilarious.
Well,
I gotta sit in that for a second. That is so real.
Let me close this though. You dehumanize yourself when you are on the aggressing end of like antagonizing people on the internet, and we've all participated in it. I'm not an angel. I participated in the culture for so long. That's the whole point of this whole podcast. We want to create a world where we don't have to do this to each other, and we humanize each other more. It is impacting every single facet of our society up to the Oval Office, as we can see.
I'm just saying, this is.
Oh my God, did you see that conversation where everybody's talking about ask your dad why he left?
Oh my God, no.
You haven't seen that?
No, it's because I have been taking a break from social media for real.
A blessing. Child, I need to join you.
So was people asking their daddy why
he left? Yeah, they asking, ask your father why he left. And a lot of people, per usual, are like, it's probably the mama. And surprise, when they go talk to the daddy, it's like, oh, the nigga just ain't want me.
Was this on Twitter?
It's on TikTok.
You fucking lying.
Y'all, don't ask your deadbeat dad why he left. Because if he left you, I have some bad news. He didn't think he was worth the fight. It's okay. It happens. It happens from time to time. I would say it about my father, but he a Pisces, and he would probably be hurt by that, but it's true.
My dad's an Aquarius.
Oh.
He's here. He was there.
Yeah.
Mine
wasn't, but, you know, he liked to say he was.
That's so. Pisces.
It happens.
Pisces delusional.
It happens. He is delusional.
Us talking about absent fathers with this empty chair.
Right.
So
the
real.
Empty chair of the actual father. Okay.
Anyways, there was a part of that you were talking about dehumanizing. Yeah, I think that's also really important to like call out a name and really have people think about, because we also talked about us participating in that.
Mm-hmm.
Me realizing I was participating in that was me realizing I'm dehumanizing myself and other folks. I'm like, why the fuck am I doing this? Like, I'm trying to engage in some semblance of like power or clapping back at people for no reason. Like, and that even goes into, and I'm gonna look in the camera when I say this, that even goes to sometimes your opinion is not necessary for every fucking dialogue. I was talking
with
someone.
Get me again, because that's me. That's me. And I had to learn that, you know.
It's true. I was talking to somebody recently, and we were getting, like, coffee. And they were like, I said something, and they're about to say something back. And then they went, actually, I don't have an opinion. That's that. And I said, that's so real. And she was telling me, like, I'm trying to practice that more, like be more comfortable with being like, I don't have an opinion yet. And I'm like, that some of y'all could take that on the internet. Not you don't gotta be the one. It's true though. I have to catch my, and that's a constant. Yeah. I have to catch myself. I don't think it's necessary. Like, I don't even need to put that energy, waste my energy to do that. Someone else has probably already said it. And at a certain point, is it just going to add, even if it's like an important discussion, once it goes into not being about the discussion and goes into the dogpiling or just attacking folks, I'm not even going to add something because I know it's just going to get muddled up within the bullshit. That's happened to me quite a bit. And I'm like, it ain't worth it. It ain't worth it.
Yeah.
So now, if I am wanting to be messy, I'll just say that I'm just trying to be messy. Yeah. But, you know.
I will say, like, again, it's so important for us all to even acknowledge, like, that we participate and have participated. Like, I am, like, still unlearning it to this day. When I've been on the internet since Tumblr. Like, I was popping on Tumblr. No shame.
Right, right.
But being that Tumblr even itself was such a, like, purist culture that I had to, and I'm still unlearning that knee-jerk reaction to feel like I have to have an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think it's important that we all be patient for each other. And, you know, I've had people who have participated in dogpiling me come back, like, a while later and be like, you know what, I'm sorry that I did that. And I'm like, yeah, no, I get it. Like, it happens. And I'm not an up and stuck type of person,
yeah.
Even though, like, for some people, it's a really, really short list. However, almost anybody you've ever seen me go toe-to-toe with, if they came up to me and they really wanted to chop it up and piece it up, like, I would do it.
I've seen it in real life.
Ooh.
You do that where you're like, oh, hey, well, I'm saying
who about to be messy.
Don't, you don't say who. No, I'm not saying who. But Shaheen better than me. Like, it could really be up and stuck. I'm very much, you're dead to me. I don't see you. Do I want to work on it? I probably should in some instances, but yeah. We'll get there. Whatever. I'm growing. But I've literally, we've been out. She'd be like, you know what? I think that's so-and-so.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to go talk to them. I'm like, okay. And I sit with my bump clutch.
That just happened, mind you, a couple months. Was that like a month and a half ago?
No, maybe like, that was like a month ago to the dot. That was February.
Yeah, that was,
and, yeah. But it's happened multiple times. And every time I've seen it, it comes out like, oh, and it went well. See what happens when you can break bread for real.
A lot of people have these false, like, notions about who I am as a person. But yeah. The reality is, like, I believe in people's ability to grow. I wouldn't be able to do what I do if I didn't.
Yeah.
And I'm not opposed to resolving things peacefully. It's just like, if you come at me with smoke, I'm going to come at you with smoke. Like,
right.
I do believe in matching energy. If you want to wear the matching set, we can wear it together. Like, I will match your energy, but I prefer peace. Like, yeah. You know, I'm a Taurus. Like, if you play with the bull, you get the horns. But yeah. I would prefer to be grazing comfortably.
Please.
Like, I don't want the smoke, but I will deliver it if you need it. Like, and I don't want it, and which is why I will piece it up. But a lot of people have different motives and intentions, and I had to learn that, again, the hard way. And some people really aren't ever going to be there, and that's cool. So, yeah.
Well, on that note.
You want to close this out?
We're going
to go to our next segment.
Our next segment is, if you came here for consciously, well, you're here with us now. But
hey, family.
Right? He dropped you off at the door. Just like,
welcome to the culture.
this is what happens when you're in a divorce household. This is my childhood.
Oh, Lord.
Now you would know you want a weekend time. Our next segment. Ooh, please. That's where my daddy was.
We are,
but
so
anyway. The next segment is, damn, I forgot. It's Uncultured of the Week.
Uncultured of the Week, yeah.
We all talk about what our Uncultured of the Week for this week is. I'm gonna let you go.
Okay, I think I wrote one down. Let me see what I got. Ooh, I didn't write one down.
You didn't write one down?
But I can tell you who it is.
Who?
My Uncultured of the Week. My God. I actually can't say mine because I don't want to get put on a list this time because I'm about to travel.
Don't do it yet.
Maybe I'm going to let you go first.
I can go first. I'm uncultured of the week. You know what I'm going to say? Breakfast Club, what y'all got going on over there? Come on. It's too much. And this is, let me be clear, I'm not defending transphobes, okay?
Arguing on air is wild.
But it just the vibe Breakfast Club, like, it's not giving brunch. It's actually giving brunch club. That is what it is. Oh. It's giving mimosa brunch club, Breakfast Club. Like, this is not demure. It's not cutesy. I'm not trying to wake up at 8 in the morning, and this is what I'm hearing. You know, this is if you was on Zeus, maybe. Oh. But it is interesting. I think the Breakfast Club, it is what it is. Some people have a lot of like opinions about the Breakfast Club, like it's the worst thing that happened in the Black community. I don't believe that's the case
Zeus
at
Network
all.
Zeus Network is.
Hello. the baddies franchise.
Shouts out to Natalie Nunn, you're going to hell.
You absolutely are. I actually think that the Breakfast Club, because y'all have so, like everyone's tuned in to the Breakfast Club. And it's one of those places that it has a big flat platform, and it has the potentiality to have like really good conversations, and it has, like Ole with the Eric mm-hmm. what the fucking name
Eric
is
Adams,
Milk
Dud.
Hello, like that was a platform for him to get dragged for filth, right? And so it's like the Breakfast Club is gonna be here to stay. I'm not one of those people that are like you need to dismantle. I think the Breakfast Club has the potential, just has a, is a good platform. I think it's an important one. It's an important cultural anchor. You know, it is what it is. So when I'm, it's frustrating though sometimes, and I'm like, guys, like this really does not all have to happen.
Could be so much better.
It could be so much better. And I do, I guess, have maybe larger opinions about why like Jess Hilarious and Lauren have that beef. I think a lot of it has to do with internalized misogyny and internalized misogynoir, and. DJ Envy and Charlamagne, y'all kikiing and gabbing during it, ain't helping. But I just think that.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if we did a collab with them?
Huh? We should.
Can you imagine? I would. I would have things to say. I mean, now y'all know
better. Hit us up because we got some things to say. Absolutely. One, y'all need some mediation.
Mediation.
Real bad.
Some journalism.
Oh.
Some media training. No, but like I, as someone who enjoys some of the antics and some of the stuff that be on Breakfast Club, I'm like, this one is like, I hate to see.
Did you see the poll where it was like they had measured the conservative social media and internet shows versus like the more left-leaning ones? Breakfast Club is like one of the bigger blue dots. Like,
and that's what I'm saying. Y'all are necessary. It like you're necessary. You're a cultural standpoint, and. I like seeing the ways in which there have been really good conversations happen on the Breakfast Club. And then the petty ones and the messy ones, right? But I don't want to see y'all go nowhere, for real, for real. But
get
white refrigerator, that's what it's...
Girl, put on your shoes. Let's go get you a home.
Okay, you have yours?
Yes. So actually, my uncultured of the week is going to be astrology. Girl, I don't know what's... in the goddamn air. Actually, I do.
Mm-hmm.
A Venus retrograde, a Mercury retrograde. God damn it, my mama in retrograde. I don't know what's not in retrograde right now. I am so stressed. I don't know if it's the presidency. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But since Venus has gone into retrograde, you have been giving me hell. I need her to get out her goddamn micro braids and go try on a wig. We are tired. We are tired.
Blue
I speak
lace.
For all the people.
I'm exhausted.
Fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Fix my phone. Fix my phone. Fix my phone.
Ooh-wee.
Sorry, I had to get that off my chest.
That was good.
Okay.
Our last segment.
It's a cancel court, uncancel court, where we argue for a minute long a piece what we want to have uncanceled, something that has been canceled that we want to be uncanceled. I have mine for this one.
Okay.
If you want me to go first.
You can go.
Let me pull up the timer.
Go.
All right, my time starts now. Uncancel real therapy. Why in God's green earth? Why are y'all going to AI for therapy? Do y'all know what HIPAA is and why we have HIPAA and why it is important for you to protect your deepest, darkest secrets and your private information? Have y'all lost your everlasting minds? You are going to software that cannot even render a hand properly. It's 18 fingers on one hand, and you going to them to solve your problems in real life. Are y'all good? Ho, is you cool? And that is my main question to y'all. I think this, then this is also a part of like disrespecting the profession as a whole. Y'all see therapists online and y'all start freaking out and thinking that therapy isn't a skill and like something that you have to learn. But it took years of education for a reason, years of practice for a reason. AI does not have that. Y'all, please do better and do not put yourself in harm's risk. There is a boy who literally took his own life because of that. I'm out of time. I'm keeping on. Because yeah, there's a kid, his family is currently suing this AI company because he took his life talking to AI. AI is meant to keep you captured. Don't get me started. That's it. I'm a wrap it there. Go to a real therapist because I'm gonna be mad in a couple years when y'all are coming to me and I have to try and talk you off the ledge because AI done told you that you was correct in handling the situation and it done dysregulated you and re-traumatized you, child.
Wow, that's good.
Sorry, that was long, but
no, you did. You said and another thing.
Yeah, sorry. That's no, the first time I went over time.
That was a good closing argument. Thank you. Damn, I had another uncultured of the week that I've thought about. Fuck, but now I have to try to swing that to be the cancel court, uncancel. How can I swing this? I want to say uncanceled common sense.
Please.
But this is still specifically about one person, though.
Who?
Jonathan Majors.
Oh. Uncancel the cancellation of Jonathan Majors.
There we
Your
go.
Time
yes.
starts now.
Uncancel the cancellation of Jonathan Majors, you raggedy nigga. I swear to God. And this is why I'm so vocal is because, you know, I was very fond of this man. I was so far. I was one of the biggest. I was out there on the streets. On the streets.
Civil rights fine,
and I was civil rights protesting for how fine he was. And then immediately I said, now, and I'm going to grow and change because you're wildin'. First of all, the audio coming out, right? It all started with the Coretta Scott kid. Off rip, you're getting canceled for that. Off rip, you're getting canceled for calling a white woman Coretta Scott King. Then you're getting in an interview talking about, I found my Coretta, talking about Megan Good and Megan Good smiling. Then there's this audio you talking about, you saying something about how you were aggressive to your ex. And the day after,
wow,
that motherfucking article comes out with the audio. You secretly get married to Megan Good. I'm
During
sick of you.
This retrograde.
I'm sick of you. And your tears, I'm tired of it. And I need you to go find another era. You need to go back to the 1800s because that's exactly my time is up.
Time.
We could all go over because
yeah,
I'm sick of
go
you.
Ahead.
I'm sick of you. I'm sick of you, sick of you, sick of you,
it's
sick
a collective
of you.
Sickness.
And the crying, the tears. I never seen him cry that much, even when he was playing roles. You method acting, you're method acting way too hard right now. And it's really, I'm sick of it, I'm sick of it, I'm sick of it, I'm sick of it.
My sister done burned too many bridges and there's nothing I can do for her now. Megan Good, baby, getting married during a Venus retrograde, not good looks.
Oh my God, true.
It's not good looks, mamas. But that's only if you believe in astrology. I know you believe in the Lord, but clearly not too much because you laid up with that man. But yeah, would you like to...
So y'all. Sick. So sick.
You are close.
Blink twice, but I mean it.
Y'all, thank you so much for joining us today.
On a
welcome
very
back.
Chaotic episode.
This is
fun.
Such a chaotic. Look, is his chair still being empty for
everyone
me?
Say, everyone think consciously.
He ain't here to receive
mm-hmm,
it, but
but he heard it in spirit. And thank y'all for tuning in.
Submit your questions to please questions for the culture. Submit your questions in the comments, or you can submit them via our email at theuncancelledculture.com. Oh, at gmail.com.
Oh my God. .com. That's a manifestation. Looks
yeah.
Like.
Period. Hello. Period.
All right, y'all. Peace out.
Bye.